last few days, these guys have been on an emotional roller coaster. Up 1 minute, down the next, up 1 minute, down the next, not knowing what's going to happen next. Then they're left in Jerusalem, and they know that actually, having been his followers of Jesus, perhaps there's some persecution about to start, the religious rulers and everything. And so, if you look in the other couple of Gospels, Jesus himself had given the message, go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. You need to know that, because that accounts for why they're where they are. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, and it happened in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. You have the same group of people who you had 3 years earlier, plus one, Thomas. Fascinating. They're all there. And if you break this down, this is what you see. Simon Peter appears in the Gospels 104 times. Thomas mentioned 10 times. Nathanael 7 times, 6 of which relate to chapter 1 in John in his calling. And the sons of Zebedee also 7 times. Simon Peter is the mover and shaker of this group. Would you agree? Do you know when movers and shakers get it wrong, the rest of the group get it wrong? We influence people, all of us. We all influence people. So Simon Peter comes up with this great idea. I'm going out to fish. Hang on, Simon. 3 years earlier, you left everything to follow him. There's nothing wrong with fishing. John breathes a great sigh of relief. But there is something wrong when you're fishing for the wrong thing. Bearing in mind, they know he's risen now. They know he's risen. It might have been a good idea if they'd been telling people. But they don't. When you go back to something, when you've given something up, and I'm sad to say this, look, I've seen it many times in people's lives. If you give up church, if you give up Christianity, you will only go back to what you were before you actually came. There's nowhere else you can go, because actually what happens is this nature within each one of us will take you to the place that you were previously. And if it was that good, why did you leave it in the first place? But if you read the Bible, people are always doing that. You read the Old Testament, the Jews were always wanting to go back to what they'd actually cried out to leave in the first place. So, Simon Peter can only do what he knows he can do. I know what I'll do. I'll go fishing. Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. A person of influence. It would have been great if someone in that group had said, hang on a minute, Peter, he said meet him in Galilee, which means actually he's going to turn up. And if we're out on the lake fishing, we might miss him. Because actually we can be in the right place doing the wrong thing and miss him. But no one comes up with that bright idea. So they went out, got into the boat. I love this bit, but that night they caught nothing. I wonder if they're beginning to work it out. Let me tell you, when you're doing the wrong thing in the right place, you will get nothing. If you want a reference, I once bought a farm. What a mistake. What a stupid, stupid mistake. Did I ever ask Jesus, I know Jesus, let's buy a farm? Do you know why I never asked him? Well, I did, of course I knew he might say no. You're dead right, Kirsty, dead right, Pat. It seemed like a good idea, but it turned out to be the worst idea I've ever had. Do you know, years ago, years and years ago, I knew that I was going to be a pastor. I'd had the call. Just got bored of waiting. Just got a load of money in my lap and thought, I know, let's buy a farm. Why not? You can see why I can speak from the heart. I've made big mistakes. But that night they caught nothing. Do you know why they caught nothing? Come on, these are experienced fishermen. They're doing it in their own strength. Catherine's right. But they've been doing that for years. They know the lake. They know how to catch fish. What, the fish or the fishermen? Actually, Matt's right. Did you hear what Matt said? Even the fish obey Jesus. He's got a shoal of fish buzzing round, waiting to be caught. You can imagine the net coming out, the fish going, not yet, out we go. Give that one a swerve. Net coming there. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realise that it was Jesus. Now, picture this, look. They've worked hard all night. Fishermen do work hard. You know, they really do. It's a hard graft to be this sort of fishing. The sunrise is coming up. They look and they're about 100 metres off the shoreline. They see this figure on the shore. And what happens in that culture was that the fish buyers would come down to the water's edge and shout out to the boats to be the first to buy the fish. So they're trying to say to them, have you got fish? Right, come here and we'll give you a good price, etc. So that's what they're expecting. So the cry goes out. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? It's a negative thing, right? He's telling them that he knows they haven't got fish. No. Didn't catch any. Worked hard all night. I know, says Jesus. We'll come up with the perfect solution. Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some there. It's about 4 foot. The difference between a catch and a miss. About 4 foot. Don't you find that strange? You can be that close to success. You never really know how close you are. Just the width of a boat. A carpenter telling a fisherman where the fish is. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Just below the surface, this is what's happening. They move 4 foot across to the other side, and there's a big shoal of fish just waiting to jump into a net. That's your Jesus. That's your Jesus. I want to just take a little time out, just a minute. I'm going to propose something to you, John. Not propose to you, propose something, right? I reckon that day you caught all those fish, Jesus just blessed you. And maybe we could miss that. You know, when John had a revelation and those words that John had are on the wall over there, you read those words, and if those words are true, then my Jesus said, you know what, I've got my loving saint who gives so much of his time and energy and commitment that actually, you know what, I'll bless his socks off. I'll bless him so much that actually he'll ache for a week and never forget it. You see, he's in control of fish. He's in control of everything. If you will choose to see it that way, by the way. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved, we know this is John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. It can only be him, isn't it? You've got to wonder why the other six or seven haven't actually figured it out. But anyway, he comes up with it, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. Poor old Peter, always the impulsive one. Not long earlier, he denied Jesus those 3 times, and we remember all those events. I wonder when he jumped out of the boat, he wondered whether he's going to walk on the water. He'd done it once before. But the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't need us to catch the fish? He comes prepared already. There's just something beautiful in the picture. You've not caught any. All right, I'll give you a big catch. This should put your mind back 3 years earlier when we were actually having this discussion. But just in case, I know what I'll do. I'll have breakfast ready for you. This is your Jesus. I wonder what they thought when they came ashore and they see this coals and this food and the smell. Something, by the way, that they would have done many, many times before over the 3 years. Move it on, Gordon, please. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish, and it says, you have now caught. Bring some fish. In other words, bring what you've got as well. Let's have a get together. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat, dragged the net ashore. It's full of large fish. Here we are, 153. But even so, with so many, the net was not torn. Do you remember 3 years earlier, the net was breaking? These are large fish, not just small fish. They've got the record in the Lake of Galilee, just like John. Jesus said this, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. I want you to concentrate on the word come. He often says come. And I've chosen five of them, I think. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Right, let's come out of that and go into the next passage. And you'll see it's in John chapter 1. They're only a couple of lines each, these. John chapter 1. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus, and turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Look at this. Come. You know, when we did this passage a year ago, Vicky sat where Mary is now. And I don't know if anyone else remembers, I asked this question. Who wrote John's Gospel? Do you remember what she said? John the Baptist. And she was mortified. You know, the reason I say this is, look, sometimes when I pick Vic up, we would talk, and she never got over that. And the other thing that she always kicked herself was, do you remember Passion of the Christ 2? She came into this discovery that Jesus was alive with such innocence, such love to find and make discoveries, that she began to feed herself. She said, look, and despite the assurance that actually her questions were always appreciated, you know, it's not a test, is it, about knowledge? It's about discovery. And that's what she enjoyed doing. And it was this passage, look, John the Baptist announcing that Jesus is coming by, the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. And this is an invitation to everyone in the room from Jesus in verse 39. And it begins, your journey will always begin this way. Come and see. Just come and see. You don't need all the answers. You don't even know the questions. All you need to do is come and see. How dreadful when church gets in the way of that statement. And it does. It will get in the way if you behave churchy. People who don't know how to be around Christians, how to behave, are actually just at the beginning of the journey. Do you understand that? Come and see. It's not an invitation from me, it's an invitation from him. First one, come and see. Next scripture, please, Gordon. If you will come and see and hold it up before you, this is Vicky's journey in the last 2 years. Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Learn. Isn't that her? Didn't she go from John the Baptist and the Passion of the Christ to where actually she could box most of your lugs with her understanding? Where actually she would get in the car in the morning and say to me, she'd grill me. Do you know, sometimes when I wing it, I get away with it with you lot. But every now and then she said to me, that one, right? Huss didn't do that. Well, 7 years since Bible College, or 10 years since Bible College. But she watched it last night on YouTube. Come and learn. Where might you learn? And I don't mean as a location. It's got to be in here, isn't it? You've got to get a love for the Word of God. You really have. Come and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. She discovered all of that. She really did. Next one, please, Gordon. Mark chapter 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they'd done and taught. They've been out on mission. They've been used by God to further the kingdom. They've seen miracles. They've been involved in praying for the sick. And then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Some of the happiest memories I can remember of Vic are when she's been away. You know, she's been away with you and others. And she's had that time out. I'll say this really honestly. There comes a time in your walk with Christ, and it's more often than people realise, that actually you need time out. You need time out. Time where you can get alone with God and make it just you and him. We can get caught up in all the other stuff, and we do sometimes. And it's our own strength making things happen. And you know, sometimes we can make stuff happen. But there's still a time when each one of us needs to go and just be with him. And there's something so special when you put your diary aside, your schedule aside, and you just get some rest with him. You get your batteries recharged. If you've never been away to some of these retreat type places, you need to do it. It's not a waste of time. You know, if you look at that passage, they're on a spiritual high. And if it'd been you and I, we'd be making it happen again. Well, I've just come back and I've seen all this. Let's go again. And he does it differently. He says, no, actually what you need now is some time out. You really need just to get alone and chill a bit. We need to learn this stuff. So come and see, come and learn, come and rest. Next one. Please, Gordon. Jesus said this is the one, come and eat. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared to ask him who you are. They knew it was the Lord. Well, looking after yourself, taking care of yourself, it's quite biblical, quite scriptural. But if I want analogy, a metaphor, I would say this, come and eat his word. Because man will not live on bread alone. And Vic did that. I assure you, she actually got stuck in. And that's what came out. It's what actually made her so attractive. You know, Kay and I were talking yesterday. And we've got to be careful. We're not going to make Vic a saint, you know, because sometimes she's a pain in the bum. That's true. As we all are. Right? As we all are. She wasn't perfect. She was a work in progress. But she did all these things. She came to him, came to him, came to him. I saved the best till last. Watch what this one says. This is Vic now. Then the king will say to those on his right, come. You who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Let's move it on a minute, Gordon, please. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? Because you wouldn't hesitate, you know. If Jesus was needing any of those things, we'd be the first in the queue. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go and visit you? Next one, Gordon. The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. You know, I watch you all the time. Some of you know that I do that. When I saw Vicky, one of my earliest, I'm looking for the right word, one of my earliest smiles that I had with Vicky was when I saw her take care of Anne and Johnny downstairs. Do you remember those days? Those of that you were here. It's all right to cry, Anne. Listen, this is what you actually had happen before your very eyes. You had someone who came to Jesus and discovered this is real. And then without anyone instructing her or teaching her, she opened her eyes and thought, how would Jesus be with an old lady downstairs and an old man downstairs? I'll be, which she didn't have the theology in her head, the words to describe it. What she did was she got a chair and sat next to them, made them a hot drink and gave up of her time up here where it all happens, where the moving and shaking is, and actually stayed down with two old wrinklies. There are lessons there, people. There are lessons for everyone in the room. Because, you know, and I'm gonna hit you with a punch now. When we come out with rotas, we're not asking you to be called to do something. We're asking you to serve, to make this place a better place. Right? If your name appears on a rota, it's an invitation to serve, not calling. Vicky didn't need an invitation to serve. She saw a need and served. That's the bar, people. That's the bar. The last invitation was, look, come for your inheritance. That's what she walked into. And forget the previous 40 years, which were rubbish on some accounts. But the last 2 years, I rather think that Jesus said, yeah, my good and faithful servant. Yeah? Because whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me. What a great place to leave it off. Let me pray, and we'll ask the girls and Matt to come back up. Father God, I thank you that you offer this invitation to all of us, Lord, to come and see. And we've experienced it amongst us, Lord, many times. I pray, Father, that that's what we will be. We will be a church which says to people who are looking for you, just come and see. Come and see. Just come as you are and see and then learn and then rest and then eat, Lord, and then inherit, because that's what you've given us, each one of us. May we never lose, Lord, the fact that we can do nothing without you, and yet with you guiding us, with you directing us, Father, we can catch men and women, which you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.